Hi, I'm Susan McKeown, and this podcast is going to feature two interviews that I did with Niall Connolly and Wallace Bird. And Niall Connolly and I spoke at the Irish Arts Centre in Hell's Kitchen in New York, and Wallace Bird and I spoke in Ireland, and they're both going to be performing at the Irish Arts Centre on Friday, the 28th of September, as part of the Fall Song Live series. So first up, my interview with Niall Connolly. I'm Susan McKeown, and I'm here on the stage of the Irish Arts Centre with the bowled Niall Connolly. And I first saw you, Niall, just under a year ago, coming up on a year ago, at a house concert out in New Jersey. And I had never seen you perform before, and you're it was amazing. And
it was an amazing house, it's true.
It's an amazing house concert, but your performance, Leonard Cohen must have been a huge influence. I mean, I think that even though it's not, you know, immediately obvious in all of your songs, but your lyricism is so brilliant. I really admire it, and you know, I often think of Leonard Cohen when I'm listening to your work.
Yeah, I would be flattered by that. Certainly wouldn't take offence to that. I am a huge Leonard Cohen fan, especially his attention to detail with the lyrics and how you can go back and listen to his songs, you know, for the 100th time and hear something fresh and exciting in it that you mightn't have noticed before. So I've always tried to have that depth, you know, not that, you know, tried to aim for that depth in the lyrics, and just to have have something that means something to me, at least, because you know yourself, the reality is, if you're gonna write a good song, you're gonna play it hundreds of times, and I want it to mean something to me the 98th time as a performer, and I want to be able to get up and sing it like I mean it, and for the 98th occasion. And so I suppose that's something that I would have taken from Leonard Cohen. And I got into Leonard Cohen through my sister. I was like listening more to Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins, and there was two bands from Cork, Frank and Walters and the Sultans of Ping, that had the songs in the top 10 and the top of the pops in the same week. So I was big into them and Nirvana and that. And my sister was kind of the other side of the stairs, listening to Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen, and they were like literally just hearing them through the wall. Now Leonard Cohen sort of sounds much the same through the wall, you know.
Yeah.
But when I actually listened to the words, I said, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
Well, let's talk a bit more about that, because I'd love to know when you started to realise that this was the work that you wanted to do here, and that you wanted to be a singer-songwriter.
Well, I suppose I was, by the time I was 15 or 16, it became apparent I probably wasn't going to play in an FA Cup final. You know? So I decided, what other ways can I avoid work? That's a big mistake. Music is far from avoiding work. So I played in played bass in various kind of indie, punk, grunge, whatever.
Was that in Cork City?
Yeah, in Cork, when I was in college, and the bands would always break up, you know, and it was just very frustrating that all the work that you put into the band would break up. And I did this music course in Colossia Stephan Nefa and Tramore Road in Cork, and I remember the first day, no truer words were ever spoken to me, but the course coordinator, Chris O'Herney, said, if you're in a band, the only thing that's certain is that the band will definitely break up. He says, if you're a singer-songwriter, you can't break up, but you'll definitely break down.
That's great. Yeah. But then on the other hand, maybe it's we do this so that we won't break down.
Yeah.
No, there's an element, of the healing in it as well. And
certainly, yeah.
There's so much humour in your songs as well. And I took that away from that night in the songs and your banter in between. But you're such an experienced performer, because you've done, you had done all your work in Ireland, but in New York, you've really been part of a scene and you've created a scene in a number of establishments here in the city.
Yeah, when I came over first, I really did miss that idea of the, like, you know, the session, sort of singing, not the traditional session, but, like, you know, sitting, passing around guitars and playing your new songs for your friends, because I wasn't, you know, there was a very tight music scene in Cork when I left. And so I set up this the Wednesday night sound club initially, and where we would have, it was like a filtered open mic. And then that kind of graduated, and we now, I do a night in Queens and Long Island City, one in Brooklyn, and two in Manhattan, like every week. We have this collective called Big City Folk. So everybody just kind of works together. We just had the Big City Folk Festival, the first ever one, this summer in July. And it's a great success. And it's great kind of to feel, again, because as a songwriter, sometimes, you know, it's great to feel that sense of community, that, you know.
Because it can be lonely work. And I remember down at the Scratcher one night, seeing you down there and a group of fantastic songwriters around you, and it was like you bring them all together. It was that particular night, like Casey Black and Warren Malone, and
both outstanding. Yeah.
But you really like nurtured this community, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I suppose. You know, it's kind of that folks was the sound of an Irishman trying to take a compliment.
Well, that's the impression I got, is that you have this capacity to bring all the people around. And then it's not so isolating for singer-songwriters. And when I was out at Kjol one night, where you've been, had a long-standing event, really, out there. And it's just everybody is hungry for those kinds of events, and singer-songwriters are excited to... There were a couple of people there who were new to New York, but they had found their way to your night there, and they were, and some stellar songwriting, you know,
yeah,
and they
found
a ready community of listeners and fellow songwriters.
Yeah,
it's lovely to see what you're doing.
For that, it's like, I love great music. I enjoy seeking it out. I used to work in the, my last job before I became an international folk sensation. I was a music librarian in Cork City, so I was, you know, always kind of loved music, and I enjoy seeking it out as part of the Big City Folk and meeting new people all the time. So.
And what brought you here and away from your hometown, and when was it?
Well, you'd have to come to the gig to hear all about it.
Okay.
Long an answer.
All right.
Is that enough gigabytes?
Jesus is coming and I can't pay the rent. Will you tell me about that song? Because there's so much suspense. You're just, we're hanging there with you and hanging until that chord change.
So annoying.
It's fantastic.
Well, my challenge was I wanted to just hold the one chord for as long as possible, and then hold it for another little bit. And that was the idea. And then just it gave me great freedom with the melody and the lyrics, because you're tied to less, you know, literally you're just kind of holding on to the rhythm of the chord. And it's just kind of a song about everything and nothing all in one, you know. It's like, it was very much a stream of consciousness. I mean, the one half of it was definitely true at the time. The other half is awaiting confirmation, you know.
Yeah, sometimes they can be prophetic. But it's such a great song, and I just want to put that out there because people can look it up on YouTube. Jesus is coming and I can't pay the rent. And the other one...
post-apocalyptic recession song. It's a whole new genre.
Don't we love them? And then I think you had recently written Balloons I first heard you do that, and I was floored when I heard that song. Can you tell us that one?
That one, Lily of the Mohawks, I think will be the...
I love that, Lily, exactly.
That was kind of inspired by
Late night in the city.
I was playing, I have two gigs on a Tuesday night, and I was trying to stay out of trouble between them, so I decided I'd walk down from the Upper West Side to the village, and I was walking by St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I said, sure, I'll take an old proper stroll around here now. And I noticed that on the door, there's an engraving of Lily of the Mohawks, which I was surprised by, to say the least. So I just did a bit of investigating into her on my vast collection of encyclopedias or Google. And I just discovered that she was the first of the Mohawk clone, of the Mohawk family, to be beatified by the church. So I thought that was a fascinating idea. So I was just kind of just thinking about the mythology of that, and then like the St. Patrick himself and the mythology around him, and then the Celtic tiger and the mythology around that, and just the sort of conflict and struggle in each, and then the waiting for balloons then was actually kind of in, it's, that image is kind of just inspired by the Banksy painting. And so there's just loads of different sort of images.
Beautiful images.
Same like theme of kind of like the same kind of struggle for identity and purity and honesty, I suppose.
It's such a gorgeous song. You sent me that one and I love singing it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Susan McCombe will have a worldwide smash hit with it.
As they say in New York, from your mouth to God's ears. You have so many great songs. It's, you know, it'd be a great idea if some of these great songwriters that you know and have come to your events made a cover album of your songs. And in fact, that happened, right? And you were completely surprised. Will you tell us about that? It was great.
The most surprising thing about it is that they managed to keep it from me, because I see most of them 5 nights a week.
They loved keeping it from you.
That was an amazing achievement. Yeah, they actually, and they presented it to me on my birthday. They recorded it and got them pressed and everything. And it's, and they called it Annihilated on there.
Yeah.
Not just because everybody had at least one reinterpretation of the lyrics. But no, they did a great job. It was hugely flattering thing, of course. And people can hear that on Bandcamp or pick up.
It's a great, great piece of work, and it was a tribute to all the great work you've done in New York for the community. So you're here on Friday, the 28th of September, with Wallace Bird. And thanks, Niall, for coming in and talking about it in advance. Would you like to play out with the song?
I'll sing you Be There If I Have to Swim. Which...
Great.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, we got lost in the woods. Strayed a little further than a sensible someone else should. Wasn't looking for trouble, wasn't looking for gold. I knew it wasn't looking too good. I lost my compass, I lost my northern star. Now I'm talking with my best friend, she's right in front of me. Says I don't know where you are. But I'll be there if I have to, be there if I have. Be there if I have to swim. Through the wasteland as a child, I remember well stepping on a rusty nail. A pop up through my shoe, I was with my father and I cried. I was young enough for that to be alright. enough to feel like a fool. She said, sometimes I feel like that, I feel like that now too. But I'll be there if I have to, be there if I have to, be there if I have to swim. I'll be there if I have to swim. You don't have to speak, your face tells a story by itself. I know sometimes you feel like the girl at the bottom of the well. Or listen to the clatter, the chitter chitter chatter of the voices overground. And the overstretched city with its head stuck in the clouds, where all the king's horses and all the king's men are far too busy helping somebody else. Well, yeah, you can fix it, but you're gonna have to stick it back together yourself. When your back's against the wall, it's hard to stand tall and raise your voice and sing. Hey, I know you, I've seen you at your best. You can rise above anything. And I'll be there if I have to, be there if I have to, be there if I have to swim. Be there if I have to swim. Yeah, I'll be there if I have to. Be there if I have to. Be there if I have to swim. I'll be there if I have to swim. This is Niall Connolly thanking you for listening to the Live from Irish Arts Centre podcast, bringing you closer to live Irish arts in New York City. For more information, visit irishartscentre.org.